This,
yeah.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Goats have home lives too.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hurts hitting it, and Lamar hitting it, and Justin Herbert hitting it. None of them have as many guaranteed dollars in their contracts as Deshaun Watson has.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Mike Hill. Today's guests, Fox Sports college football analyst Brady Quinn, former heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder, comedian Tony Rock, and now sitting in for Rich, it's Mike Hill.
Yes, sir. That's how we do on this Friday. Mike Hill in for the great Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku channel and on SiriusXM. What's up, everybody? This is the Fun Friday edition of the show. This is the Freestyle Friday, or should I say the Sneaker Drop Friday.
Yeah.
Because around here, the fellas are online already trying to get the latest kicks. What's up, Chris Brockman? How you doing, my
brother? Oh, man, I got a clean shirt on. I'm ready to go. What's up,
Mike? You're looking fresh, my brother, man. Do you shave your own head?
I do. Every single day.
Is that right? Every single day?
Every single day.
How do you avoid the bumps?
I do a little really close shave buzzer, so I don't razor shave.
Okay. It looks good.
I buzz shave, so I got a little bit of stubble and then clean all over.
There's nothing like when people shave their heads and they get the bumps and it's just it looks gnarly, man.
A little sloppy.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we should, like, Rich should work on getting you like an endorsement. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can we work on that? Can we?
Let's go. Let's work on business.
All right. What kind of kicks you got on today, bro?
I got the Jordan 1 Golf today.
Jordan 1 Golf. See, this is what we like to do around here. We like to look at the shoes here, man, because
legs are really tan.
You guys just put me up on this app. I don't know if I can say the app's name, but I like the app, and I'm already signed up because I'm like, I'm not a sneakerhead per se, but I just like good shoes.
You're about to
say it. You can say it.
Del Tufo.
I'm going to let Robert Saul speak for me today.
You ain't got no haters, you ain't popping.
You ain't got no haters, you ain't popping, boy. That's why we love diversity on the coaching sidelines right now. You can't see Bill Belichick saying, if you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping, right? Robert Saul, we're going to get into that, man. I love that, man. The Jets and the Broncos, that's going to be an interesting Week 5 matchup this season because of everything that went down with Sean Payton, what he had to say yesterday. How you doing, my man?
I am doing very well, Mike. It's good to have you back, my brother.
Man, always good to see you, too. I should ask if you know, are you a sneakerhead, too?
I'm wearing Hokus. I'm an old guy. I got to wear the old guy shoes.
You said
the old guy.
Mike, Hoka.
What the hell are Hokus?
I know, Hokus.
Hoka.
I meant Hokus.
You said Hokus?
I said Hokus.
Mike, you got the hookah?
I was thinking a hookah bar.
I'm almost afraid you said Hokus. I didn't know where.
You ain't got no haters. You ain't popping.
You ain't popping. I ain't gonna hate on you though, bro. And then all of a sudden, my man over here, the man, the myth, the legend, the candle man, TJ. What's up, brother?
You know, it's Friday. I feel good. It's good to see you. It's good to see my boys. I'm happy today, man.
Mellow, man. 11s? 11s? 11s?
You know, got a pair of, you know, the cherry red 11s. Oh, yeah, man. They look fresh and clean right now.
Yeah, yeah. See, I know I got some 11s, too.
Oh, these are lovely.
Those are dope. Matches your headband and everything, yes, bro. Looks good. What kind of candle you got over there today?
Trust me, I'm taking it off when I leave because I'll be driving through parts of town that I'm not sure if the red is.
Keep it neutral.
Keep it neutral. I
don't
know. I brought the good rhymes.
Yeah, like man. You're a good brother, man. You're a good brother. I mean, you can't be gangster if you got your candles burning around, right?
Monaco to El Segundo, baby. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Hey, it's so good to be here with you guys as always, man. Always love sitting in this seat here for Rich Eisen, man. Thank you for the opportunities as always. Two Fridays in a row. And, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about the big fight that's going on this weekend in Vegas. And we have a big fight. It's a big fight. When somebody comes up to you and say you're gonna watch the fight, and people know what you're talking about, you know how big the fight is, especially if it's not boxing fans who are asking you if you're going to watch the fight somewhere. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk to Deontay Wilder coming up in the next hour.
Bomb squad.
We're going to talk Shohei Ohtani in just a second. But Joe Burrow, man. Hey, how people in Cincinnati.
Ooh.
Man. I just happened to be watching SportsCenter yesterday. And all of a sudden, Adam Schefter comes on, blah, 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 breaking news. And then you see the injury, you see him hopping off. And I'm a person who has had two Achilles tears.
Oh, damn.
Right? Really? And so, yeah, two.
Same Achilles?
No, but different one. Both legs.
Oh,
both
brutal.
Legs.
Man.
Yeah, I had two surgeries on my left because I got infected the first time. And then the second one happened 4 years after the first. You know, and they say that usually happens sometimes because you overadjust sometimes mm-hmm. and you put a lot of stress on it. So I thought, first thing, I'm like, uh-oh. When you hop like that, can't put any pressure on it, yeah. whatever. I thought, luckily, it's just a calf strain, and he'll be able to play, it looks like, at the beginning of the season. Here's Zach Taylor talking about it.
What happened?
Just saw his calf. You know, it was 10 minutes ago, so we don't have any more information on that. Was there any issue before coming into today for him to wear that? I mean, I think a lot of guys after the first day had some soreness, and that's it. But I know over the course of practice, he felt good.
Message to the team, Zach, after something like that happens, obviously the team.
Message. This is football. Guys go down with an injury that maybe is a day thing. Who knows? So we don't message the team after every single person goes down. There's a lot of guys that had soreness today. That reps cut down a little bit. So that's just part of playing football and training too.
See, I like that's coach speak right there. Guys go down with injuries. There are a lot of guys. These guys ain't Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow goes out with an injury. That's Patrick Mahomes. Joe Burrow.
Yep.
Top of the list. Top of the list right now. I know the quarterback in L.A., got the contract, and he's doing his thing. He's up and coming. But when it comes to the top two quarterbacks right now in the National Football League, is there a 1 and 1A or is it a 1 and 2?
Oh, that's
they
funny.
Got to be the top two.
That's funny. Yesterday with Kirk Morrison, we had the same kind of conversation. Patrick Mahomes, I think we can all agree, is number one.
Yes.
Okay. We were saying, who's now number two? Is it Joe Burrow? Is it Josh Allen? Is it Justin Herbert just signed?
Justin Herbert signed the
Doesn't
biggest
Doesn't have
deal.
The resume, definitely has the skill set.
Right.
Is it Lamar with the MVP?
Mm.
Is he back healthy?
Mm.
Is it, I don't know, XYZ?
All top five quarterbacks. All top five quarterbacks.
Your boy Kirk Cousins.
We'll talk about Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins overall is not a top five quarterback, top 10 quarterback. Although I did say last week when I hosted this show that Kirk Cousins, because of what I saw in that documentary, which is well done, we'll talk about that as well, that Kirk Cousins will finish top three. Did I say top three or top five in the MVP race this year?
Yeah, I think you anointed him.
Yeah, it was more than that. You said that the Vikings.
I said the Vikings were going to win the NFC this year.
Right.
I did say that, and right. I got a lot
got
of,
a lot of people
Twitter.
In their feelings,
let them come. I don't give a damn.
Yeah, they did, Mike. They
I don't care. Let them come. I ain't afraid. Let's go. That's what, yeah, let's do
like,
it.
Like
let
Bernie said, I ain't scared of you.
I ain't scared of you. I ain't scared of you. Hey, for real, I'm only scared of my ex-wives. That's all. And alimony payments. That's the only thing I'm scared of, bro. I ain't even got to pay for child support no more because they're old. You know what I mean? So I don't worry about that
college
type of
grads,
stuff.
Man.
So here's the thing. When you look at what Joe Burrow has been able to do for Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
And the value that he brings to that football team. There is and what he's done against Patrick Mahomes.
That's the thing.
I mean, I know he lost last year in the playoffs, but he was undefeated against Patrick Mahomes. They were calling Arrowhead. What were they calling Arrowhead?
Burrowhead. Baby.
I mean, like, so Cincinnati, and you're talking about Cincinnati being a contender every single season. And guess what? He's been doing it since his last year at LSU. Came in, he got injured his first year in pro football, in the NFL, and then he's been exceptional ever since. So when it comes, I love Josh Allen. Don't get me wrong. Josh Allen still makes mistakes. And guess what? If Joe Burrow had a semblance of a great offensive line, oh, man. Oh!
Yeah, that Super Bowl might have been different.
I might be saying he's better than Patrick Mahomes.
Ooh.
But Patrick Mahomes can do it from everywhere. You know, all angles, great quarterback, run. You know, he just arm angles and everything. He's magical with that football. Don't get me wrong. He's a surgeon. But with Joe Burrow at that quarterback position, man, I just feel like when it comes to the NFL hierarchy of NFL quarterbacks, there is Patrick Mahomes, who's still number one. Got to give respect to the MVP. Two-time MVP now?
Two-time.
Two-time MVP. Two-time Super Bowl champion.
Two-time champ.
Three times being in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
There's nobody better than Patrick Mahomes right now. But Joe Burrow is a close second, if not 1A. So with him going down, that was a huge scare for Cincinnati. So hopefully he'll be able to get back on the field soon. Talking about value in baseball, there is nobody, I'm sorry, more valuable in the game of baseball, maybe in all of sports right now, than Shohei Ohtani. I mean, this guy, I thought he had a phenomenal season last year. I'm a Yankees fan. I can admit Aaron Judge, I thought, was the MVP. I still feel that, even though you're a Red Sox guy. You hate the Yankees.
Hate the Yankees.
Aaron Judge, was he the MVP last year?
100%.
Okay. People forget, Aaron Judge was vying for the Triple Crown until the last couple of weeks of the season. And broke the AL home run record. I mean, that was a magical season that he had. This season, and Shohei Ohtani had a great season last year and is having another phenomenal season this year. But this season, there is nobody that's even close in the game of baseball that's better than Shohei Ohtani. What this man did yesterday,
oh my God.
I mean, like, he's been doing it all season long, but only thing that surprised me is that was his first ever complete game shutout. That's the only thing that could surprise. One hitter in the first game of a doubleheader. And then in the second game, like, I don't need to pitch. I'm going to be at DH. I'm going to hit home run 37 and 38 on the season.
No big deal.
No big deal. That's what I do. Man, the Angels went in. They said they took him off the trade market or whatever. They're going to keep him for the rest of the season, see what happens, making a run for the playoffs. They've won 8 of their last 9 games, 4 in a row. It's mainly because of this guy. And because they know sooner or later they're going to get their big bopper back. Mike Trout's going to come back, right? And hopefully they can make a run. Giolito, they just got from the White Sox. So they're all in on this season. But at the end of this season, man, you got some beep, you got a truck, something backing up.
Nah, I wish I didn't.
Man,
give
me a cha-ching.
I told you it's an 18-wheeler, Mike. There is no cha-ching. Sound.
Yeah,
this isn't going to be a regular beep.
Bank receipt. There is no bank on earth that has enough money to be able to pay Shohei Ohtani what he's worth. I mean, the Saudi Arabia have a
team. Yeah, right, exactly.
Baseball team.
Let's not say there's no bank.
No bank. I shouldn't say on Earth. Maybe in the United States. Saudi Arabia. Because if Saudi Arabia had a baseball league, you're talking about billion-dollar players. This is a billion-dollar player.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's, what, 29 years old? 29 years old. This guy is phenomenal. And they're in the race right now for the wild card. It would be a shame, though, and I said this, I believe, last week, that if Shohei Ohtani plays there, this is his sixth season, I believe, with the Angels now, and they've never made the playoffs with him and Mike Trout, two generational talents, and the Angels could not get to the playoffs, so hopefully they'll make a push. But I got a question for you guys, because you know I'm a Yankees fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yankees, what, 3-4 games out of the wild card, Angels 3 games out of the wild card right now, you see the race right there, or they're 2.5 games back. And the Angels is 3 back. Who has a better chance of making it to the postseason? The Angels or the Yankees? Remember, Aaron Judge eventually is going to come back.
Is he? We've been hearing that for a month.
Yeah, I know. He's going to come back. He's going to come back. They're going to make a push. And you know the Yankees are going to be buyers during the trade deadline. So they're going to get somebody. But Mike Trout is coming back. And once again, the Angels did pick up Giolito. What do you guys think? Angels, Yankees, you put your money on.
I put my money on the Angels.
Really?
Yeah, the Yankees pitching doesn't do it for me, and they can't score any runs. I mean, I know a lot of that is because Judge is not in the lineup, but he's only one guy. If nobody's getting on base ahead of him or behind him to knock him in, is he going to account for 5 runs a game enough to win ball games down the stretch?
What?
Angels have a really hard schedule. That's kind of the only thing that's right. Kind of in their face there. They've got, you know, 20 games, I think, against teams over 500 left, so tough schedule.
The fact that the Yankees can't put any runs on the board without Aaron Judge in the lineup is preposterous. It's almost like it's sad. It really is. For this organization, for what Brian Cashman has put together. I mean, they were a flawed team last year with Aaron Judge, and they basically brought back the same team this year.
Right.
Didn't make it any better. I like Bader. I wish they would have re-signed Benintendi. Because that at least would have somebody on base that can run the bases. The baseball has changed. It's not just about the home run. Get on base, move the runners, score runs. Let's put up crooked numbers, each inning. And the Yankees rely too much on the home run. They rely too much on the home run, and that's why they strike out a lot. This is just a very flawed team. So when Judge comes back, yes, he does make a difference in the lineup because the team, I don't know, he energizes them. He does. That's why he is one of those most valuable player candidates. That's why he won the MVP last year, because he does energize his team. But once again, even in the playoffs when they made the postseason last year, they were a flawed team. You can see against Houston, they couldn't hit the ball. They couldn't hit the ball. They have not been able to hit all season long. But right now, it's about the Angels and Shohei Ohtani, man. And if they can make this push and they can get into the postseason, I believe the Angels will make – maybe they won't be the team that offers him the most money, but I believe they'll offer him enough money. And they have shown him that they plan to be contenders in the American League, or at least put people around him in Trout that they can be contenders and be perennial postseason contenders every year, that it will keep him around. Because if they don't keep him around, it will be a damn shame.
Yeah, so they've won 8 of 9, and then coming up the rest of this month in August, they are at Toronto, at Atlanta, 4 for Seattle, at Houston, at Texas, 3 for Tampa. I mean, those are all playoff teams.
Right.
So we're going to find out how good they are in the next 3-4 weeks.
Well, we got to find out when Trout's coming back, too. That's the big thing. You know, he's got some – I don't even know if he's doing baseball activities right now, but when he comes back from the hand injury, that's going to be the big thing as well. You know, and we'll see how Giolito adjusts. I don't think he wanted to lead the White Sox, but he's now there.
He's a SoCal kid, so
yeah,
it helps to be back, you know, in the vicinity.
Yep, that definitely helps just to have that familiarity there. I can't say that word, familiarity. Yeah, he's used to it. You know, he likes that. He likes the surroundings.
He likes it.
Damn it. He is. All right, we got so much to get into on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show on this fun Friday, this Freestyle Friday. Sneakerhead Friday. We will talk to Brady Quinn. I like college football. Obviously, I do college football over at Fox each and every Saturday. Got a chance to do Big Noon Kickoff a couple of weeks last year doing the Ohio State-Michigan game, and I covered the Baylor and the TCU game.
Nice.
And then I did the Big 10 championship game and the Pac-12 championship game. So I got a chance to spend a lot of time with my man Brady Quinn and Matt Leinart and Urban Meyer over there. So looking forward to talking to Brady about college football, because that's about to heat up as well. Talk to him about the season and his foundation. That's coming up next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So stick around.
Are you currently enjoying the show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher. And thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
I did not approve this, but, you know, that's part of me delegating to you, our social media grandmaster. You put out on Instagram a photograph. It says Breaking Bears Trading for Russell Wilson. And what's today's date?
It is April 1st, Rich.
And that is what? It is April Fool's Day. So it's 5 minutes to air, and my phone's on the desk, and it's buzzing. And
yeah.
And I see it is, you know, it's Jeff Garland. Is the caller there? Is the caller there on the Rich Eisen?
Jeff from Chicago.
What's funny about it? Nothing's funny about it. Nothing is funny about it. Our friend Doug Robinson texts me.
Yes.
Capital left. Russell Wilson. He says, you know, Rich doesn't usually get the scoops. Adam Schefter should be on this. Well, that should have made me suspicious.
Yeah.
But no, I have so much respect for the Rich Eisen Show that I know that they have connections that nobody else has.
That's true.
Well, you know what, Rich? I'm not going to swear, but I got to tell you, your little social media boy, he's going to get his. Oh, my God.
TJ, do you have anything to say to Jeff Garland?
Yeah. Happy April Fool's Day.
All right. Hey, TJ, you don't know what you've brought down on yourself. You don't even have a clue.
I'm
you
ready
know
for
the power that I have, especially in practical jokes. I'm going to nail you so hard.
Pause.
You know what? I hope you enjoy your testicles right now, because they're going to disappear.
No, but I need them.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. Jeff Garland getting a little spicy TJ on April Fool's Day for fooling him a couple of years ago, I guess. Well, last year, probably.
Two years ago. He didn't want some of the smoke. He wanted all the smoke.
Yeah, he wanted literally all the smoke. Yeah. April Fool's 1 year, I remember I was in New Orleans, and I called an ex-girlfriend of mine who was, she was living in L.A. She was here. And I was like, hey, you know, got drunk last night. And got arrested and blah, 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 blah. It was just April Fool's, right? She said, I don't know how you're going to get out. I don't know what you want me to do about it.
Joke's on you,
seriously,
Jack.
Yeah. I like, we broke up. Yeah. We broke up. You disloyal. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We've been talking about our NFL predictions, as y'all already said, a wild prediction about the Minnesota Vikings making it all the way to the Super Bowl this year for the fifth time ever. Never won a Super Bowl. I said that Kirk Cousins was going to finish top three in the MVP race this year. This is all based off that quarterback documentary there. So I want you to call in 844-204-RICH because I'm getting hammered on social media and YouTube for that. I like that. But once again, if what did Robert Saleh say?
Oh, Del Tufo. Oh,
Del
Tufo.
You ain't got no haters. You ain't popping.
You ain't popping. That's okay. That's all right. It's Friday, baby. You know, we're getting ready for the weekend. So give us a call at 844-204-RICH, 844-204-RICH. Give us your outrageous NFL take going into this season. It is also on the brink of college football season. And, of course, I work over at Fox Sports for the last couple of seasons doing college football. Had the opportunity to fill in for Rob Stone on Big Noon Kickoff this year. They do an outstanding job. Big Noon Kickoff is doing his thing right now with Matt Leinart, Urban Meyer. Now they got Mark Ingram in the mix. And my man, Brady Quinn, who is a Notre Dame great, good guy, great father, great all-around person. He joins us right now on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Brady? How you doing, man? Good morning.
I'm doing well, Mike. Thanks for having me on, man. I was going to say that story you told about April Fool's, I thought you were calling up like an ex-girlfriend to kind of play like a joke on her, like you're getting back with her. And then you're saying, ah, ha, ha, that, no chance. So went a little different direction than I thought you were going to take that one.
Yeah, well, she's an ex now. She's an ex now. I don't loyalty means, like, come on, you got to at least go get some bail money. Go into my bank account and get me some bail money. At least act like you're concerned about me being in jail or whatever. Of course, your wife would never do that to you, Brady, of course, right? You would never be in trouble anyway.
My wife would leave me in there because she'd be like, yeah, whatever you did, you probably deserve it. So you can go ahead and hang out for a while and I'll come pick you up when you're ready.
Look at that all-American face. Look at that. Brady, you wouldn't survive in jail. I'm just saying, bro. Brady, oh, boy. Never go to jail, Brady. Never go to jail. Just say that. All right. It's almost college football season, man. Of course, Big Noon Kickoff is going to have a great slate of games. Once again, you guys are going to be on the road. What are the weeks leading up to college football like for you, though?
I think right now, I mean, for me, the unofficial start is actually always the media days, which the Big Ten just wrapped up here the past few days. But you really get a sense for what the perception is of the conference, of the players, the coaches, how you think things are going to go. And then the games are played, and you get to see the reality of it. And I think, you know, there's always things that stand out. You know, for example, I just came back from the Big Ten media days, and, you know, you get Michigan, which – you know, it's won the past 2 years. They beat Ohio State the past 2 years, you know, birthed into the college football playoff, yet they weren't the betting favorites. You know, they're tied with Ohio State. I mean, I'd take that as a sign of disrespect, especially when you take into account Ohio State's got to break in a new quarterback. Really talented group, but, you know, they've had a hard time beating that team up north now for 4 years. People tend to forget they didn't play during the COVID year, and then the past two Michigans won. So it's been a while. And if you're Michigan, like, a little disrespectful, and obviously there's news about Jim Harbaugh and some violations there, so he's going to miss the first four games of the season. But, you know, things like that kind of stand out. And you have to remember, too, like last year, if you go to the Big 12, TCU was, I think, voted to finish seventh, and they ended up playing for the national championship. So you can't always buy into necessarily what the media thinks, because there's always going to be some fun storylines once the season starts.
Yeah, you know, the media don't know what the hell we're talking about. Sometimes we just kind of guess out there, man. But yeah, like you was mentioning, man, I think it's really disrespectful for Michigan, especially after they rolled Ohio State at Ohio State last year and bringing back Blake Corum and J.J. McCarthy. But you did mention Jim Harbaugh facing that 4-game suspension for basically kind of lying to the man or not giving up all the information that the man wanted. And the man is the NCAA. How do you think that's going to affect the team early on, even though the schedule doesn't seem like they have a tough matchup in those first four games?
Yeah, they've got three soft non-conference games. No disrespect to those teams they play, but Michigan's on a different level right now. Then they have to play Rutgers, Big Ten play, which Greg Schiano's helped make that team more competitive, but they're not quite there yet. So if you're going to miss four games in the season, these are the four to miss. And actually, you know, the suspension allows Jim Harbaugh to be there all week. He just can't be there during game day. Mm-hmm. And I think if you had a young team that was inexperienced, or maybe breaking a new quarterback, that would be a concern. But that's not the case with this group, right? J.J. McCarthy returns. You mentioned Blake Corum. Edwards, obviously, in the backfield. You know, their offensive line won the Joe Moore Award again for the best offensive line in college football. They're all back. 7-11 starters on defense, led by Junior Colson. So this is a very experienced upperclassman group. And, you know, as far as the staff goes, too, that's intact as well. Not a lot of sweeping changes there. So they're prepared to basically handle this. And I actually think this could be one of those things that's like a galvanizing opportunity for the players to kind of rally around one another and take over control and really responsibility for this team for this year and in the locker room without Jim Harbaugh being there on game day.
Yeah, and Corum kind of alluded to that it might rally the team and bring them a little bit closer together without their coach being there. I'm pretty sure Big Noon Kickoff is going to have a lot of games featuring Michigan. Of course, the Michigan-Ohio State game is always a big game. Look, I'm going to tell you right now, I've been doing this for 28 years, and being on the road with you guys, that was maybe top five of the most fun I've ever had being a part of any type of coverage, man. You guys have a great crew. You do a great job over there, man. How fun is it for you?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, I think, look, I love the game of football. I've been so blessed to be able to play it for starters and the places that I've been, the people that I've met through it, and then just the fact of being able to cover it, it's fun. And I think what we try to do or attempt to do is basically have a party and celebrate the game, celebrate the players, their stories, the coaches, and everything around it. I mean, that's really the goal of it. You know, you think about tailgating. I mean, call what you want. It's just a party before the game, right? And yeah, it's a party, hopefully, after the game if things go well, if your team wins. And that's really what we're looking to do, is try to bring everyone in and be a part of the party along with telling those stories and trying to educate some people on some football and have some fun. So it's been a blast. You know, we get the chance to kind of branch out, see different campuses. I always tell people, I'm like, I don't know why people don't ask more, like, hey, my kids are looking at going to school. Like, what do you think? Because, like, we go everywhere. Like, yep, we see these campuses. Like, we've got in-depth knowledge at this point of, like, hey, like, I've got young kids, so they're not there yet. But I can tell you, like, my opinions on different places where the kids should be going to school, because there's some wonderful places out there, and there's some places you're kind of like, ah, you might want to be – I want to be aware of this if you're going to go there.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You guys have a great time once again, and I'm looking forward to the coverage again this season. Mark Ingram stepping into the mix as well this year. Speaking of going somewhere, Notre Dame, see where they go. Second season under Marcus Freeman. Got off to that slow start last year, 0-2. Did finish strong. Added Sam Hartman. Now he's running the show, coming over from Wake Forest. What's your expectations for your Irish this year?
Yeah, when anytime you've got a guy who's, I think, what, the all-time, you know, leading passer in ACC history coming in for his sixth year, you've got high aspirations at Notre Dame. And Sam is a very mature, very productive, smart player, tough player. That always was the thing that stood out to me watching him on tape, is he'll stand in that pocket and he'll deliver a throw and he'll take a shot after doing it. So he's very well, you know, suited to take over a role where he's going to be on national prominence, and especially with their schedule, right? You got to play USC, OSU, and Clemson this year. Those are three big dogs. I mean, all three of those teams, you could make the case, could be top 10 at a minimum, if not maybe all top five, depending on how the season plays out. And that's not to mention, you know, the rest of their schedule, which won't be easy either. So, you know, having him gives you a huge shot at doing that. Their offensive line, it's a bunch of future NFL players. So, yeah, they're going to be able to run the football. Audric Estime is one of the best running backs in the country. He's already solidified himself as that. It just really comes down to who's going to step up on the outside young man by the name of Tobias Merriweather. Keep an eye out for him, big number five. He's going to be a big-time playmaker, I think. And defensively, it's just continuing to kind of build on, you know, what Marcus started as the defensive coordinator, now as a head coach, and then Al Golden calling the defense there as the DC. They've done a tremendous job of really being that stable piece. But now we got to have some stars emerge. Isaiah Foskey, I drafted the Saints. He's no longer there. Kyle Hamilton was a couple years ago. We've seen his impact with the Baltimore Ravens. You know, we've got to have some of those leaders step up and emerge, and that's going to be the biggest thing. So there's always high aspirations when you're playing for Notre Dame, right? Like, you go to these media days, and you're like, man, I don't even know what these things were like because we didn't have them as a player.
Right.
You talk to players and coaches, their goal is to win the conference. At Notre Dame, you're just trying to get in that playoff and trying to win a national championship.
Yeah, you're going to find out a lot about Notre Dame, as you mentioned early on, Ohio State on September 23rd. They did play them close last year. A lot of people don't remember that. USC on October 14th. Of course, USC high expectations this year. Probably going to be a top five preseason pick. Caleb Williams coming back. Have they added enough defensively, in your opinion, though, to take that next step and get into the college football playoffs?
For Southern Cal,
can you say it? I mean, I know it's USC. Can you actually say something nice about USC?
I like saying Southern Cal because it really upsets the Trojan fan base for some reason. I'm not sure why. I mean, that's the name of your school, but they get really upset by it. And I always try to explain to them. I'm like, you know, USC on the East Coast is South Carolina, right? Like that's how people refer to them as. So, I think Caleb Williams gives you always a legitimate shot at winning a national championship because he's the best quarterback in college football. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He'll be the number one draft pick in next year's draft. To me, he's one of the most unique talents I've ever seen at the position. And so even despite their defense, which people tend to forget, you know, that defense actually helped bail them out in some games early last year.
Mm-hmm.
They had a ridiculous turnover differential, and then they didn't have much depth. And I think as they got worn down as the season wore on, that's where you saw some of the issues defensively that they were having. But they added seven transfers on defense alone. They've really tried to shore up the front seven, not only to stop the run, but I think to add some pressure too. So they feel much better about it. You know, do they have the depth they'd like to have? They're probably another year away from that. But I think defensively they will be improved. I think the only thing you have to ask yourself is, you know, are they going to be able to generate as many turnovers as they did last year?
Yeah.
That was kind of an anomaly. And they played to their benefit. So As much as we're like, hey, they're an improved defense away from playing in the college football playoffs for a national championship, there's also a side of me that's like, well, a lot of those turnovers that they got and some of the points early, some of that's not going to be there for them this year just because it's hard to do that. I think they were like plus 22 in the turnover differential.
They were very opportunistic, last year.
And so I kind of look at it and just say they're definitely going to be in the hunt. But I don't know that the Pac-12 has been this strong top to bottom in the past 5 years. Like, okay. I don't care what team you're talking about. Even, like, Arizona. Jed Fish has done an unbelievable job building up that program. Jay Delorias can sling that football around. They'll put pressure on surprise people. You can go up to Washington State and Cam Ward. That kid's a stud.
Yep.
You know, they have as good of competition as anyone. So I think, can they get over the hump of Utah, who beat them twice?
Mm.
Cam Rising is, like, my favorite quarterback in college football that – no one talks about enough. He's going to have a legit NFL future, too, coming off a torn ACL, but he should be ready for the season when it starts. And you know how good, Kyle Whittingham is. So it's a tough conference, I think, to survive through. I think they could be beating themselves up when it's all said and done.
Yeah, and they got Washington, Oregon up there. Oregon State's going to have another good team up there as well. Talking to Brady Quinn, Fox College Football Analyst, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Speaking of USC, Notre Dame, high expectations coming into this year. Once again, Notre Dame had high expectations last year, faltered. Texas A&M, high expectations, top 10 in the preseason, faltered. Is there a team that you're looking at right now that may be in the top 10 that may be a little bit overhyped that you might see falling? And then on the back end of that, give me this year's TCU.
Oh, man. It's first off, I really don't pay too much attention to preseason rankings because I think it's always a bit odd.
Mm-hmm.
And you go back and you look at the impact that preseason rankings sometimes can have, especially early on, because it's all the AP. And it influences, I think, to a degree, the College Football Playoff Committee. And it's a bit unfair because you get four or five games in the season, you see what some of these teams are, and you're like, dude, that really wasn't a ranked win or it shouldn't be factored in that way. So
I agree.
I think, I'll put it this way. I think the team that there's the most optimism about that really needs to take a big next step is Texas. It's their last year in the Big 12. I think Steve Sarkisian has done a tremendous job with the offense, however, defensively. And last year they showed some improvement there once they brought along, you know, Gary Patterson to be a part of that group. But, you know, they kind of started then to fall off offensively the second half of last year, especially for some of the games that Quinn Ewers wasn't there for. That's the team that I think I'm looking at and most curious about. You know, can they be – the Big 12 thinks they're going to win the Big 12 this year. They think they could be in college football playoff contention. They've got to replace Bijan Robinson, but they do have a deep backfield. They've recruited well. They have a ton of speed and talent on the outside, a wide receiver, maybe the best tight end in the Big 12. And Ewers could be that other name we're talking about when it's all said and done with Caleb Williams, with Drake May out of North Carolina, quarterback, for being that you know top 10 pick because he's got the ability. And I think he's matured a lot. I think he's taking, you know, has taken the offseason very different than how he did in the past. So Texas is the team that I think I guess I'll put it this way, I'm most curious about. I think, you know, that could be a team that either takes off and dominates and wins the Big 12, is in the playoff, or it could be one where, you know, it doesn't work out quite as well. And who knows, you know, how we're talking about Texas at the end of the season. And as far as like a surprise team that, I don't know. I don't think people are talking about enough for national consideration. I don't know if this is a sleeper as much, but like Penn State is like the third favorite to win the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
I think this team could break out and be a playoff team.
Wow.
Like Drew Aller reminds me, their quarterback reminds me of Big Ben. He's gigantic, Mike, and wow. He can move. He's got a howitzer for an arm. He's polished. They've got two backs in the backfield that are studs in Katron Allen and Nick Singleton. Their left tackle might be the best left tackle, Olu Fashanu, in college football. Chop Robinson's like their next great edge rusher. Abdul Carter looks like a young LeVar Arrington. Kalen King's a stud in their secondary. Like, they're loaded.
Wow.
And some would say, if not now, then when? But that's one of those teams that I think, I don't know that people look at them on the national stage as like being a part of it. That's another team that if things go well this year, they could be the Big Ten champ. They could be playing for a national championship.
Well, they got to get over two big humps, of course, Ohio State and Michigan, just like they lost to them last year as well. So we'll see if Penn State can get that job done. Brady, before we let you go, man, I know you got a great foundation. You're just an all-around great guy. Tell us about it, man.
Yeah, the Third and Goal Foundation, it's been up and running for about 13 years now. We help wounded veterans. We remodel homes, make them handicap accessible for wounded vets. We put on educational platforms to help them start, continue, or finish their education. And lastly, we just provide help for military families in need. So 3ng.com is the website. You can kind of find out more about different events and ways you can help. But always appreciative of our veterans. Appreciative of you, Mike. I know you have served. My father served. So thank you. Thank you out there to all the veterans that have served and protected this country.
Love you, brother, man. Thank you so much, man. Best of luck this season. I know I'll be seeing you around.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Love you, Mike. See you, brother.
All right. Brady Quinn joined us here on the Rich Eisen Show on Roku and, of course, on Sirius XM. Hey, great guy, man. I'm telling you, man, that crew, I know College Game Day does their thing for ESPN. Maybe I'm being a homer. I'm being a company man, but Fox pays my money. That's how I pay my mortgage. But no, like I enjoy working over there, man. Great people, man. That's one thing I can say about them. And it was a great experience just being on the road and doing that Michigan-Ohio State game last year, being on the road, being a part of the Big Noon Kickoff crew. Top five memorable moment of maybe my life because I grew up in Alabama. So I know about the Alabama Auburn rivalry, and I know how crazy and intense that can be. I've seen twin brothers fight in the back of my Chrysler, my mom's Chrysler. I mean, like, throw blows over Alabama-Auburn because one was an Alabama fan, one was an Auburn fan. I'm talking about draw blood in the backseat of my car. And you know how hard you got to be throwing, like, in close proximity? Yeah. I mean, and they got into a fight over Alabama-Auburn. That's how intense that – but nothing compares to Ohio State and Michigan when it comes to college football and that atmosphere. The entire campus on Ohio State, when I went there, they play Michigan. They cross out every M.
Yeah, it's crazy.
On campus. Mm-hmm. I had to call myself Ike Hill.
Sup, Ike?
I had to be Ike. I couldn't be Mike that year. There was no M's allowed. We talking about Bloods and the Crips. You know? That was Bloods and the Crips. I'm telling you, it was in college football right there, man. It was amazing. It was crazy.
Mike, they even tweet like that. They put an X over the
everything. Everything, man. I love college football. I love college football. It is just there is nothing better than the pageantry and the rivalries and the intensity of college football, and unlike the NFL, which I love the NFL, don't get me wrong, but every week matters in college football, because one loss, like you said, even at the beginning of the season, a preseason loss, but if you could be a top five preseason favorite or a team, and nobody knows how really good you are because of recruitment, because of the NIL, because of all the transfer portals and the coaching changes and all that type, every year. So you know Alabama's going to contend.
Always.
You know Clemson's going to be right there somewhere around. You know,
right now it's Georgia's world.
You know, yeah. Georgia's going to be that team. But everything else, Ohio, Michigan's going to be pretty good. Ohio State's going to be good. So you know those teams are going to be. But everybody else, man, hey, flying around, it could be anybody's year. Penn State.
I love it.
Penn State.
That's why I have so many college teams, man. I want to make sure that one of those teams is their year and I'm cheering for them.
But Penn State is your top. Penn State is your top college team, right?
No doubt.
I mean, look, I like what they're doing over there. But once again, they got to get over that hump of Michigan and Ohio State, and that's been tough for any team, but especially Penn State in their own division. Mike Hill filling in for Rich Eisen. What's coming up next? What we got coming up next?
Some phone calls.
You want to give us a call, 844-204-RICH. We got the craziest NFL predictions going into this NFL season. That's coming up.
Whenever they have a shot of a head coach.
The cutaway.
Mm-hmm. We like to guess what that individual is like as a stepfather.
Brockman, who's up first? Who do we have up first here?
First up, Alabama head coach, Nick Saban.
Taking a look at Nick Saban.
Nick Saban is the kind of stepfather that, regardless of how different he may seem to you, in every single Christmas card photo, his hair has been the exact same since he married your mother. He's also the kind of stepfather that wears dress pants and then a white tank top undershirt all the time, unless he leaves the house and then he puts on the dress shirt.
Former 49er head coach, current Michigan head coach, Jim Harbaugh.
Be gentle here.
You be having a conversation with him.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's going really great.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just all of a sudden gets a look on his face and he goes, "What was that?" And your heart just goes into your throat and you think you've said something horribly wrong. And you instantly start thinking about all the things that you could possibly be getting in trouble for.
Do we have Tom Sula?
We have a bonus line.
Yeah, you got Tom Sula?
I've got your current
Niner head coach?
He is the kind of guy that he will be having a conversation with you and he'll never be looking at you. And he'll be going, "How was your day? You got a good day?" And you start telling him how your day was. And then he'll always go, "Hey, honey, what's for dinner?" No matter what you're talking about, so you'd be burying your soul.
Can we try?
Yeah, you'd be burying your soul. Yeah.
So hold on a minute. So I'll be your stepson.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Richie, how was the day?
That was great. Dad, let me tell you about what was going on.
Hey, honey, have you seen the clicker? Where's the clicker?
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, Mike Hill filling in for Rich Eisen today on this fun Friday, Freestyle Friday, fellas.
Yes, sir. Woo-hoo.
Big plans this weekend. Anybody got big plans? Anything going on?
My buddy's 40th tomorrow. We're going out down in Huntington, playing a little golf in the afternoon. So if you see me out down there, I'll buy you a beer. Let's go.
He will. You Chris is done.
Okay, all right, all right. I like that. Golf in the afternoon. What happens at night?
Ain't no telling.
Nah, it's not up to me.
No, it's not. This is 40. What do you do for your friend's 40th birthday? What do you do? You get outrageous? Do you something crazy? Like, you know, because you're at that age right now where you're still kind of young. Yeah. But if you party too hard, you're going to hurt the next day.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So you go out because it's special, though. 40
is 50. Yeah, 40 is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of no longer a kid, so to speak, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting married soon. He's got a young daughter. So, we're just going to kind of It's part of our crew, too. We don't all get together that often. We're a bunch of Syracuse guys, so... And some of his family's coming up from San Diego, so we're just going to kind of...
Oh, you ain't going to have fun. Y'all going to play golf and go home, bro. Look, he said a couple of things. He said he's getting married soon. Getting married, so he's still trying to get married. So he's still in love. You know what I mean? That's a good thing about it, right?
Mike, you're coming from a different place, though, on the old marriage train.
Yeah. We get to all this strong,
you've
man.
You've been beat down by love.
I'm still in therapy.
We can talk.
I'm still in therapy, man. I'm still healing. Help me.
20 years later, I'm still healing.
No, right? And then you said the family's coming up. So
yeah,
like,
some of his brothers and cousins are coming up from San Diego. And
okay.
It's a part of our LA crew. We're kind of meeting in the middle.
That'll work, man. Well, good. What course you playing tomorrow?
Strawberry Farms.
Okay.
Banner
all
of
right.
mine, so.
Good luck tomorrow. Hey, continue to give us a call right here on Rich Eisen's show, 844-204-RICH, 844-204-RICH. We want your outrageous NFL takes going to this NFL season. We got a call? We got a caller?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go to Terzo, our buddy. All
rise.
Terzo.
All rise.
All eyes. Let's go.
What's up, guys? Hey, Mike, you're killing it today. You guys got a lot of energy and a lot of fire in the studio today. It's been fun listening to you.
Appreciate you, my brother. What's your outrageous NFL take going into this season?
Man, this is always kind of one that I go back and forth with because the NFL season is always just outrageous itself. But there's always constants that go in. You know, Mahomes is always going to be there. You know those teams that are good are going to be there. Now, I think my probably most outrageous thing is if another position outside of a quarterback actually wins the MVP.
Ooh.
That might be the most outrageous thing.
Ooh, okay. I like it. Let's see, because, you know, obviously Mahomes is going to be the favorite going in. Burrow is going to be one of the top guys there. All the quarterbacks, sent, you know. Yeah, that's crazy. That's a great one there, Terzo. Because I was thinking that was actually going to be my take, and I'm going to give it mine later on, even though I've said my crazy take. That's a more outrageous that Minnesota's going to win the NFC this year and that Kirk Cousins is going to finish in the top three in the MVP race. But Saquon Barkley, you know, I'm a Giants fan. I think Saquon comes in. He signed that contract, you know, $11 million for this season, incentives. That gives him incentive to play well once again, to stay healthy, to do his thing. They're going to feed him the football. Expect big things out of the Giants this year as well in that offense in year two on the day ball. So I thought Saquon Barkley could be the MVP of the National Football League this year. What do you guys think about that?
Well, actually, that was going to be my take. I was going to do non-QB MVP this year.
Okay.
I was thinking about it, but Terzo, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit, but, you know, it's always possible.
Brockman, I'm sorry, buddy, but, you know, that's kind of the hard part of kind of thinking of it because Cooper Kupp had that outrageous season 2 years ago, probably very well could have been the MVP, and he didn't even get looked at. So I'm just curious about what it takes for that non-quarterback position to do it, you know, break the single-season rushing record with 20-some – touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, look, Mahomes, Rodgers. When was the last time a non-NFL quarterback?
Adrian Peterson.
Okay,
that
wow.
was his 2,000-yard year. But when Derrick Henry rushed for 2,000 yards, he did not win MVP.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's not kind of the lock, you know, that it used to be.
Yeah, well, you know, I think there has to be a quarterback that doesn't have that outstanding year. If the quarterback has that outstanding year, then he's, you know, no matter what other people do, no matter what other positions do. Like the year 2007 with Tom Brady, Randy Moss, right?
Something we've never seen before, really.
Nothing you ever saw. Randy Moss with any other quarterback would be an MVP. You know, Tom Brady just happened to be his quarterback.
That's true.
You know what I mean? That was incredible. That's a great call, though, Terzo, man. Looking forward to that, man. More outrageous takes. Continue to call us 844-204-RICH, 844-204-RICH. Terzo's a lawyer. You see?
Terzo's a lawyer. He's one of our frequents, and so we have a cool little graphic.
I love that, man. Hey, can I hold on to that? Because I am actually fighting a ticket. You know?
Turns old.
You my man, bro. We family now. I'm on the Rich Eisen show.
Iowa, though. I don't know. I'm sure he'll know the laws and he can help direct you. Hey,
he knows somebody that can skirt something. You know
you
what I mean?
Meet him at the bar. He'll take care of you.
Yeah. Need what?
Meet him at the bar.
That's where he's calling from.
He calls in from a bar.
Carl's. Shout out to Carl's.
Carl's in Des Moines.
So what time is it in Des Moines?
Noon, maybe? Noon? Almost?
Almost. Is it 2 hours ahead or 1 hour ahead?
No, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Like Mike said, it's 5 o'clock
somewhere. Hey, man, you know what? If you were a lawyer, you had to deal with some of these criminals out here, man, you drink too. You know what I mean? I think there are certain jobs that you need to be able to drink on the job. I'm just saying. I really feel that way. Mike Hill filling in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll talk about the comments from Sean Payton coming up in the next hour. Stick around for that.
All right, now I'm scrambling to find a new bold prediction here.
Brogman.
We're going to do that coming up in the last hour of the show. We'll give our bold predictions. You got yours already, CJ? You already kind of got it in mind?
I got mine unless, Jeff from Detroit calls and takes it.
We got to do a better job of screening the callers now.
He was going to talk Ohtani, and then you hit him up with the bold prediction, and he audibled.
Oh, he was going to talk Ohtani? Okay. He all audibled. Right. See, I got to know these things. I thought he was going to call. He could have talked about Ohtani. Call back Terzo, because I need to ask you some questions about my ticket. So I got to make it about me sometime. Ohtani. So Ohtani is going to, he's going to win the MVP this year. But what's that mean for my ticket? That's all I need to know. College football season coming up. NFL season. This is that year, that time of the year, man, where we're kind of like excited. But really, there's still nothing that's going on. WNBA, no disrespect, love WNBA.
Yeah, WNBA, love baseball, golf. Baseball. We're kind of in that weird couple of weeks until preseason starts, Hard Knocks in 2 weeks.
We got Messi, who's at least putting some more eyes on football here in America.
What was the more likely to happen, Laz? You asked me that question.
I said Messi goals or Tyreek touchdowns.
Well, Messi's already got three goals.
Wow,
got three. He's doing his thing already, man. Yep. Hey, bruh, I'm going to tell you why Sean Payton, what he did yesterday, why it's going to propel the Denver Broncos into the playoffs this coming season. That's coming up next on the Rich Eisen Show. Stick around.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Collision has been struggling a little bit out of the gate with these ticket sales.
This was a major show announced on a major network with what everybody thought was this huge star, CM Punk. I said he was going to be the biggest financial flop in wrestling history, and I think I'm being proven right every minute of the day.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.